Gosh, a long gospel like that demands a long homily, don't you think? I'd rather have a short homily than a long gospel. That gospel is, I can't imagine reading the short version of that thing. I've been in all three of those positions by this age, that the surly brother, that the compassionate father, and the guy that ran away and came back. You know, we take different roles. All three of these parables are about different ways that God seeks us. In one case, you're a lost sheep, and he goes out searching for you, and he actually finds the sheep and puts it on his shoulders and carries it home. At times, God is so close, he actually comes out and grabs us. We've seen this. Maybe you've experienced it. And another time, he's like this woman looking for this coin. That's the one that gets me the most. Anybody here ever lost a cell phone or you have an appointment, you can't find your car keys anywhere? I'd love to get one of these things where you know, and it honks or something. I got a fob once. You know what a fob is? I don't know what that stands for, but it's something you stick on your car keys, and you push this button and it honks. Well, the one time I had to use it, the battery was dead, so that's the end of that. Found these keys in a bush about a year later. And I had a wallet I lost when my mother died. So we're calling the mortuary on the one side and calling the credit card companies on the other, and I said to the Lord, I said, you know where this wallet is. Why won't you tell me where this thing is? I didn't find it for a year. When we finally moved all her stuff out, 9 months later, that's how long we took to sell this place, there was the wallet behind a bookcase. Everything had been canceled. No driver's license, no credit cards. And I was planning on the great getaway after she died. It had been a year and a half I'd been with her. In that case, the Lord was like this father standing at the window watching. I said, you should have come out and helped me. But anyway, I have these discussions with the Lord about why he allows things. And, you know, it's trivial looking back at it. But you can see the different ways that the Lord acts in our lives. We have to ask ourselves, has he ever reached out and grabbed you? He had that Sister Breege McKenna mission last year. I had a confession line from up here out the front door. I thought, I couldn't believe how long that was, and many of them were coming back to the church. I don't know how they heard about this mission. God reached out and grabbed them, you know? But they took that first step, and in coming through the door, taking a risk to hear this world-class speaker that we had here. I think she's one of the best lay speakers in the church today. And they took advantage of that, and God called him here. The gospel is so beautiful, but this young man gets, it wasn't half the estate, it was his, there was a law that they were following that this man could take some of this money of his inheritance. It was a rich man, his father. What that young man was doing was disinheriting his family, the family business, the family religion, the family, his brother. He wanted the money and he wanted the good life. And out he went. How many people have done this? And the father knows darn well he's going to be coming back. The father, being older, he can see the son coming back and the results of this terrible decision. And he goes off, and of course he does. He spends all the money like some lottery winner. And then, having squandered his inheritance, which this is a code word for humanity, losing its inheritance of eternal life, which was ours in the beginning, meaning that we had the knowledge of what comes after death, that we had a knowledge of what this world was about, that it was a preparation for eternal life. People were destined to know exactly what was coming, and there would be no fear of death if there wasn't a natural bodily death. But we lost all of that knowledge, and we went off and squandered our inheritance, the earth and our lives, that a life of meaninglessness without God, which is essentially what life amounts to, without meaning. Everybody's looking for some meaning in life. And this man goes off. He finds meaning in his possessions. He squanders his inheritance on a new phone that just came out. Sorry. I remember being in Amsterdam 2 years ago, and across the street from the hotel the night we arrived, there was a cell phone line all around the block for the iPhone 6. Where are they now? Looking for something else, aren't they? Did that phone solve all their problems? I've got one. It didn't solve my problem. But humanity can't find it without God. So this young man has very mixed motives. He's eating with the pigs, which in Jewish lingo means you can't get any lower. Pigs were forbidden. He's actually wants to eat what the pigs eat. This is how bad this man got. And he thinks to himself, well, my father's workers are better than this. I'm going to swallow my pride. And he rehearses his lines. There's no evidence that we don't know if it's from the heart or not, but you kind of doubt it a little bit. But so many of us make that first turn to God with mixed motives, and he can't wait to see us. He knows that we're not perfect. You know, he just can't wait to see us. It takes some people decades to get to confession, and they go in there and don't know what they think is going to happen, but they go away with their sins in that room and never to be brought up again by God. And so he just comes back lower than the low, you know, and the father, notice that the father doesn't go after him. In this story, unlike the other two, which is why it's so important to read all three together, God waits for us to turn around. And this is part of our journey. I take the first step. If I don't take the first step, it's not going to happen. There's a great danger of doing nothing in the spiritual life and in our world. The courage to turn around, the courage to take that first step. If I have some issue with a good therapist or an addiction place or saying I'm sorry to a relative or coming back to church after many years, the courage of that first step. And the Lord is right there at the window, you know. The Father has been watching. He's been going by that window. But now there's a famine, and he thinks, I know my son. He's probably out of money. And he's waiting. He's looking out the window, but he lets the son come back. The son has the dignity of walking in on his own. You see? He wants that son to have the dignity of saying yes on his own. That's all he does. And then, of course, he gets the royal treatment. And, of course, the son, which represents the faithful Jews who are trying to follow the law, these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes that are quite resentful of these sinners Jesus is spending all his time with, are sitting there like this saying, you know, we've done everything right, and he's spending all his time with these losers. And so, you know, that this image of that self-righteousness did not permit God to come in. You know, they didn't recognize their own sinfulness, that the law was intended to help them to recognize what we can't do. And so Jesus is waiting for those different moments in our lives when either he seeks us actively and puts us on his shoulders, or we ourselves are searching frantically for something that we can't find. And when we do find it, we find that coin we lost. And you know what it is? It's God. It's meaning. It's that we are loved, that we are saved, that there is a God, and I do have meaning in my life. And the Lord is there in that search. And then we have our Lord waiting at the window, waiting for us to walk in. And all three of these are active in our lives. This is how God works. He doesn't reveal himself directly. That's why the parables are so critical. Life is a parable, and all of it has meaning. This is the key to the parable of our lives. And this is God speaking to us. So we thank God for his infinite mercy. It's kind of a national day of when we were mercilessly treated. But God, for us here in the church, it's a day of infinite mercy. And we see how God loves us so much.